Redeem have I loud to proclaim it. Redeem the Lamb. Redeem through infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeem, redeem, redeem. Blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, redeem. His child and forever I am. Redeem and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, redeem His child and forever I am. Yet think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeem, redeem, redeem the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, redeem His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose love I delight. The King in footsteps and giveth me song in the night. Redeem, 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 blood of the Lamb. Redeem, 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 His child and forever I am. Redeem, 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 blood of the Lamb. Redeem, 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 His child and forever I am. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me joy in my heart, keep me rest. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart, keep me resting. Keep me sing of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart, keep me resting. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me resting. Keep me resting till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Make us fishers of men, keep us seeking. Make us fishers of men, I pray. Make us fishers of men, keep us seeking. Keep us seeking till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. There is a name I long to hear. Its word, it sound like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the day. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells me whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe. Who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Say to the rich in Jesus' name this evening. Let's all stand. Who can stand? Just before we come to the reading of the word, let's just have a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord, for the Lord to bless his word. And also we have a couple of requests here. I want to pray for Brother George, Sister Liana. They've traveled to Longford. And Brother George has gone there to speak to Brother Brian. So I think it's a noble thing. You know, you think in the days when Abraham, when he went to free his brother Lot that had been taken captive, that's the time on the way back that he had communion with Melchizedek. And the prophet says that is something that really the Lord responds to, when somebody will go to rescue his fallen brother. So I think the only thing that we can do is back our brother up in prayer, to pray that the grace of God will be involved in their journey. So Brother George is gone this evening with Sister Liana. They're coming back tomorrow, and they were requesting prayer for that. And if there's any other request that the saints have, does anybody have a request now? Sister? Brother Pele, yeah.
Yeah, if the saint can remember, my sister-in-law, Rebecca,
yeah.
So she's sitting in the hospital.
Amen.
So if you can
Amen. Let's remember Sister Lily's sister, yeah? Rebecca, let's remember her. Any other requests? Let's, before we open the word, let's all commit ourselves just to the Lord to put the service, to put the word, and to pray that the Lord will help each of us. If you haven't been in the spirit of worship, why don't you ask him now and say, Jesus, lead and guide me beyond the veil. Let me break beyond the realm of the flesh. Let me break into the realm of the supernatural where all things are possible. Let's all pray. Father, we do thank you upon this evening that you have given unto us grace and mercy that we might come into your house upon this evening. Father, as we've gathered, Father, we do not desire to be a gathering of people, but we've come to fellowship with you. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you've given us a chance to come into thine house upon this evening, Lord. Father, we haven't come, Lord, just as people, but we've come as your people. Father, we haven't come, Father, under any program of man upon this night, but we've come because you've given us an invitation. Father, we've come because we've heard your voice. We've come because, Lord, you have drawn us unto yourself. And Father, as we open up your word, how we do not desire that it would just be the reading of the words in a book, but how we desire that it would be, Lord, Father, spiritual revelation and understanding of your word. That would be our petition. And as we had come, Lord, to put ourselves before thee upon this night, how we do not desire, Father, Lord, just to approach, as Paul said, as them that beat the air, but how we would long to be led of your spirit, Father, to bring ourselves before thee and to pray according unto thy will upon this night. Thank you, Father, that you watched over our sister as delivered safely upon this day. Father, may you bless her and strengthen her in the hospital. Father, this request, Lord, for Sister Lily's sister, Father, we're looking unto thee. We ask of thee even now, Lord, won't you visit that place with your grace, with your mercy, with your healing virtue, with your touch, and change that situation, Lord. Father, we're thinking this evening of those people that would come and stand in the prayer lines on behalf of other people. And Father, they would stand and they would look unto thee. And Father, your grace would come down to them. And Father, you would speak through your prophet. Father, your grace and mercy would reach forth to other people because of people that would stand in the gap. And Father, our sister, Lord, and our brother would stand in the gap on behalf of this sister. And Lord, we pray that you'd honor their faith and that you'd deliver from that situation. Our brother George, who's traveled as well. Father, it's a noble journey. But Father, outside of your unction, outside of your grace, outside of your spirit, Father, it's never going to do anything good. But Father, with you involved, with you in the program, surely something good, Father, will take place. Because you know, Lord, whenever you come, something good happens. So Father, may you anoint Brother George. May you anoint Sister Leanna. May your hand be upon them. Even our fallen brother. Lord, we pray for him that, Lord, you would speak unto his soul. That whatsoever there would be, Father, that would have caused him to stumble or that has hindered him in his walk. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would do your divine surgery in that situation and change that situation for your glory, we pray. Father, them that aren't here upon this evening, I do pray for them. Father, people at work, Brother Scott, Lord, I think of him. May you bless him at work upon this evening. Father, Lord, the others that would be here and there, I do pray for them. Father, we would stand, Lord, in your presence upon this day to stand in the gap on behalf of our brothers and sisters and pray that your grace and mercy would be upon them, Lord. Help us now, Father, as we look to thee in your word for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Since let's open Revelations chapter 1, just to get a bit of a thought here. Revelations chapter 1, we'll read verse 9 and verse 10, very familiar scriptures. Revelations 1, 9 and 10, it says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You may be seated. May the Lord bless his word. You know, what is so nice about this scripture, if we have a look at it, is that John, he calls himself our brother in tribulation. But there's none of us here this evening that are in any circumstances that were like John. You know, one thing I see, which I find is a great, great weakness in the lives of believers, and I'm sure each and every one of us would desire not to have that weakness, is this one of being governed by our circumstances. You know, being out of the spirit, and you ask somebody, why are you out of the spirit? It's because of the natural circumstances of life. Somebody can't find a job, somebody doesn't have enough money, somebody has problems at their job, somebody has whatever, sickness in your body. Friends, I don't believe there's any circumstance in the life of a genuine believer that can hold you back from being in the Spirit. I believe the answer to every situation that we are in is to get in the Spirit. But there's two different realms that we can dwell in. We can dwell in the realm of the flesh. We can dwell as natural people and look at natural circumstances and have our natural feelings and respond to those circumstances the way that natural people would do. We can look at problems in the home and react like our brothers and sisters in the flesh. We can look at problems at work and react like our colleagues at work and complain about the boss and complain about our pay and complain about all those things. We can look at whatever circumstances there are in life, and these situations are common to each and every one of us. And we can act in that way. Or there's another way that we can face up to these things, and that's to break beyond the veil. To break beyond the veil into another realm, another dimension, where we can now react the way that our brother here in the book of Revelation acted. When he was put on the Isle of Patmos, which was a prison, very difficult situation, rocks and scorpions and thieves, and he was separated from them that he loved. There wasn't good food to eat. He didn't have a nice, comfortable place to sleep. He didn't have anything that he could look at naturally, looking with the natural veil that he was in that was going to encourage him. There was nothing encouraging to John in his circumstances. Everywhere that he looked, if he had have stayed in this veil, looking just through the veil of the flesh, looking through natural eyes and looking at natural the circumstances as a natural person would look, every single thing that he looked at in his circumstances was going to be very discouraging. But the wonderful thing about this man is that he broke beyond the veil. Those circumstances, he said, I'm not going to look at these circumstances. I'm not going to pay attention to this condition that surrounds me because I'm not just a normal, natural person. I've been called to a higher calling than this. I've got access because of a divine call and because of the death of Christ and because of the blood that was shed. I have an invitation to break beyond the veil. I have an invitation to come right unto the throne of God, to bring my burdens unto the throne of God. And John had learned as a believer how to break beyond the veil. And friends, that's the key in the life of a person. You look at people, they come and they accept Christ. But until they learn that secret of being able to break beyond the veil, they become very vulnerable people. They're never really victorious because circumstances keep pulling them down. They come to church on a Sunday and things will seem to be going well. The devil looks Monday, he just bring some circumstances around them. And the victory which they had on a Sunday and the momentum, spiritually speaking, they had on a Sunday, the devil knows how quickly to use natural circumstances. The children, the wife, the job, the boss, the car, your neighbors, whatever it is, the natural circumstances of life. And you find that person quickly loses the victory. But there's another kind of person, another kind of believer who will go from church on a Sunday with the victory, and the devil's going to come and hit them with exactly the same kind of a circumstances on Monday. But that person has learned how to break beyond the veil. That person has learned to live life in the Spirit. That life shouldn't be governed by the natural veil. And the way we face up to life, we shouldn't be governed by the natural senses that we have. The prophet says, these five senses were given you to contact this earthly home. But these five senses are not to be relied upon concerning the things of the kingdom of God, concerning spiritual realities. But there's another sense called the sixth sense. And that's what a believer needs to put himself into the gear of, or she needs to put herself into the gear of, when the circumstances are against you. When you're surrounded by circumstances like John on Patmos, that no matter where you look, you're not going to find any natural circumstances, natural comfort, natural encouragement. It's at that kind of a time that you need to get on your knees and break beyond the veil. And the moment that you get yourself on your knees and you break beyond the veil, you're going to be like Brother John here. You're going to get in the Spirit and you're going to see things and hear things. And the Lord is going to show you such powerful revelation. He's going to unveil to you great spiritual realities that are going to far supersede the natural circumstances that you're in. And the reality of that kingdom that John broke through into, through the power of revelation, through the power of divine vision, when he broke into that realm, everything was secondary to him. He didn't care about his diet. He didn't care about where he was going to sleep. He didn't care about his natural circumstances anymore because he had found something that was a far greater substance that was declaring itself to his soul at that time. And friends, that's why we come for prayer. We don't come here for prayer just to make noise. We don't come here just to shout at the ceiling. We come to break beyond the veil because we do want to be believers that are governed by this veil. We don't want to be weighed down by the flesh and walk in the flesh and be governed by our own fallen understanding and our own imaginations that can deceive us and our own thought processes that can lead us into discouragement and can lead us far away from God's thoughts for our lives. We don't want to be governed by those kind of things. It's going to be natural. You're going to be in the valley at certain times and you're going to have this flesh speaking to you. You're going to have your human spirit declaring itself to you. You're going to have circumstances surrounding you that if you're going to focus on those things naturally, it's going to bring you down. It's going to make you feel everything's out of cater. God doesn't love me. God doesn't answer my prayers. Where is God? God is miles away. Friends, God is not miles away. God is just beyond the veil. You just break beyond the veil and you'll find that God is in your veil if you genuinely are a believer. And that is the wonderful thing about John in the book of Revelation. He says, I am your companion in tribulation. I am your brother. I know what it's like to be in the circumstances that you are. But he showed us the correct way to handle these kind of circumstances. And that's to break beyond the veil. But I've seen so many people come for prayer meetings. Now, prayer is not something that you automatically, having come from the natural veil, rubbing shoulders with the world in this atmosphere of Laodicea that we live in, with all of the temptations and all of the spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not automatically going to come from there, from your job and the circumstances of your life and all these things that we face up to, the pressures of this life, the complex age we live in, like the prophet says. You're not automatically going to come and all of a sudden, because you've come to church, you're going to break beyond the veil. No, there's something that you've got to do. You've got to pray. You've got to yield yourself to the Lord. You've got to draw nigh unto him and then he will draw nigh unto you, the Bible says. You've got a desire to break beyond the veil. But sometimes people come and they're defeated by the time that they get there. And the longer the prayer meeting goes on, the more defeated they become. Friends, don't ever let it be like that. The best thing, if you come to a prayer meeting and you feel there's an oppression upon you, know that you've come for war. Know that when you're going to get on your knees this evening, there's going to be spiritual warfare in heavenly places. And that's what we call to. We call to spiritual warfare. Remember Daniel when he prayed in Daniel chapter 10. And the answer took 21 days to come. And then Gabriel came down and says, from the moment you first prayed, I heard your prayers. I think somebody wants to come in, bro. Oh, it's okay. From the moment that you first prayed, your prayers were heard. But the prince of Persia, that evil force, that power and principality that governs Persia, he withstood your prayers. And friends, that's why it really takes a spiritual perseverance. It takes a determination inside of the life of a believer in a day and a time like this to break through the veil. And I think that is really, saints, what we need to do. As we come here tonight to seek his face, we should really, really have a desire to say, Lord, I've come here and my natural veil is speaking to me. My natural veil of my own understanding, my own imagination. And that realm that the devil can speak to you and the devil can weigh you down. I would say it would be a good thing to say, Lord, but I've come here tonight in this condition, but I'm not going from this place in that condition. I want to be like Brother John on the island of Patmos, that he was put into difficult circumstances. The devil put him in a situation and thought, I've got him. He's not going to do any good here. This isn't the kind of circumstances that anything good can come from. Not knowing that it doesn't matter to a believer the circumstances. Because normally with a believer, the more desperate the circumstances are, the more desperate that believer becomes to break beyond the veil. And John, in those circumstances, he looked and he says, I can pay attention to the snakes. I can pay attention to the scorpions. I can pay attention to the convicts and the murderers and the thieves that I'm surrounded from. I can, in my memory, think of the good times at home and how sad I am that I'm not with them that I love. There were so many things that John could have dwelt upon. But John says, no, that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to be in the Spirit. Because the only way that I can face up to these circumstances properly is to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John, somehow, by yielding himself, he got himself in the Spirit. And he broke beyond the veil. And he heard the voice saying, come up higher. And he went and he broke into that realm where God dwells, and he saw the Lord seated on the throne. And the great mysteries of God's kingdom now started to be unfolded to him right in that condition, which was not conducive in the slightest of ways. There was nothing to encourage him naturally. Maybe when he got up that morning, there was nothing that he could see, naturally speaking, that would ever cause him to think that when he went to sleep that night, he would have seen the things that he did that day. But imagine that day, a man waking up, maybe sleeping on the rocks, maybe not even having a blanket to cover himself, wearing his prison clothes, surrounded by convicts. Maybe they were cursing and swearing and they're worshiping their idols and their false gods. He's surrounded by all of these circumstances, and he gets up that morning and he says, there's two ways I can handle this day. I can allow the circumstances to govern me, or I can govern the circumstances. And he was determined as a believer not to be governed to by the circumstances. And when he went to bed that night, imagine the glory that he was in. He says, I heard the voice of a trumpet. I saw the seven golden candlesticks. I saw him that sits upon the throne. I saw the four living creatures upon the throne, that surround the throne. Imagine the wonderful things that he saw. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And John fell at his feet as if dead. Imagine. That was the result of him simply breaking through the veil. And friends, I really, really do believe that we as believers, living in the conditions that we are especially, we need to be doubly determined as believers to break beyond the veil whensoever we gather together as the children of God. We don't need to come defeated to prayer meetings and go defeated. You can come defeated, that's fine. Many times we do. But never accept the status quo. Never leave it like that and say, ah, I wish I hadn't come tonight. I wish I was at home. I don't feel like praying tonight. The times you don't feel like praying is the times that you need to pray the most. The times that you're feeling, hey, but I don't feel like praying, that means the devil is upon you. Remember, like it said to Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. You need to rise. You need to shake yourself once again. And that's why, saints, as we come this evening, let's not be governed by our circumstances. Let's not be governed by our environment. Let's not be governed by what your mind will be telling you at this time. Because, friends, there's something which is far more powerful than your reason and imagination. And that's the power of revelation. That's the power of God's voice to you. And if you can just hear his voice this evening and respond to that voice and yield yourself and humble yourself before the Lord and call upon his name, you can break beyond the veil this evening. And you can leave this place in a completely different spirit than you came. Amen. You can leave this place with absolute victory inside of your life. You might have come here discouraged. You can leave encouraged. Amen. You might have come here feeling, I don't want to go on. And you leave this place saying, I want to go and give the devil a real good kicking this week. Friends, don't you ever feel like that? Sometimes the devil kicks you a lot. He kicks you at work, kicks you here. Then you get yourself in the presence of a God and you say, now it's my turn. It's my turn to do the kicking. Amen. It's my turn to take the situation into my own hands now and change the situation which I was in when I came. And that is what John went through inside of his life. And friends, the only way we can get ourselves into that kind of a condition is genuine prayer. Not just a 5-minute mumbling of prayer. That doesn't help in those situations. Not just those Our Father type of prayers. Those are good prayers to pray at certain times. But just by reciting Our Father which art in heaven is not going to bring you beyond the veil. It might be a good starting place when you don't know what else to say. And you say, let me say the Our Father. And then you worship and you sing, whatever way you want to start, but you're going to need to break beyond that. You're going to need to get yourself to the place that you start like Jacob to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. When some spiritual something draws near to you and some spiritual reality starts to declare itself to you in your circumstances, like with Jacob that day, you need to start to wrestle with that condition that you're in so that you can press beyond the veil. You've got to press beyond that veil. And when now the Lord starts to do something for you and it seems like maybe the blessing's not going to come in its full extent, like with Jacob. Jacob, he laid a hold of the angel of the Lord and he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And friends, that's the kind of prayer where situations change. That's the kind of determination that you need in prayer. How many times did the prophet preach perseverance? I think 16 or so times if you look in the message. He preached that message, perseverance, so many times. Especially in the prayer lines. When he was going to pray for the sick. Because there was going to be a spiritual warfare. Because the devil's not going to let go easily, the prophet would say. You have to fight for every inch of your inheritance. The Lord's given you the promise, but you have to go and place your footprints on your inheritance. The prophet says, you have to go and say to the devil, give it up, it's mine. You have to enforce your claim. You have to persevere. And the devil, though he doesn't have any power over you, he's going to try to use the resources that he has. He's going to try to delay. He's going to try to frustrate. He's going to try to distract. He's going to try to do everything that he possibly can when he sees you coming with determination inside of your prayer that your circumstances are going to change. And that is why you need to persevere. Like Bartimaeus, when the people said, sit down. Why are you shouting the way that you're shouting? He says, no. I might never get an opportunity. The Son of Man is near this evening. He's walking by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And he cried the more, the Bible says. Sometimes that's the kind of attitude, or so many times, that's the kind of attitude that you have to have when you come defeated into the house of God. Or when you're going to your prayer closet and you're defeated. There's an oppression upon you. There's a confusion in your mind. You don't have spiritual clarity in the way that you should go. There's many things there trying to weigh you down and pull your faith down. That's the time you need to really gird up your loins and say, today when I shut myself in there's going to be a warfare. I'm not going to take no for an answer here. Because the prophet says when he went that day and he wanted to pray, and there was that sister, Georgie Carter, was sick in the bed. Remember? And the prophet was there with Brother George Wright, and he says, let me go and pray. And George Wright said, okay, well, we'll ring the bell when it's time for you to have your dinner. And the prophet says, I went out there into the wilderness, into the woods. And he says, and I wanted to pray, and I knelt down in a certain place, but it was on the side of a hill. And I couldn't get myself comfortable. He says, so I went around the other side of the hill, and I knelt down, and then the thorns were sticking into my legs. He says, and finally I went and found myself a third place to pray, and then the mosquitoes were coming. He says, and then I said, this is just the devil. He says, let the mosquitoes come. And he says, and I prayed until I broke through, and then I lost myself in prayer. He says, and they were ringing the dinner bell for me to come, and I didn't hear it. Why? He had broken beyond the veil. But there were so many things that could have discouraged him in that prayer. There were so many things he could have looked at and said, I don't really feel like praying today anyhow. Let me rather pray tomorrow. But when he broke through the veil, what happened? Then he saw a vision. And the Lord says, go by the way of Carter's, for thus saith the Lord, Georgie Carter will be healed. Amen. You see what happens when you break through the veil? But the devil's going to be there with a spiritual resistance because he knows there's something good coming. And the prophet said, it's normally like that when God wants to do something for you. There's going to be a resistance. The devil knows the blessing is on the way, the prophet says. And he's going to try to do everything that he can to get you out of the spirit, to discourage you, to make you feel, but no, I'm too tired. Let me rather do it tomorrow. No, friends, don't do it tomorrow. If there's a deep inside of you which desires to meet up with the deep here this evening, don't leave this place until you meet that deep. Why should we leave? Why do you want to go back home again or back to work again? You think that getting out in that atmosphere is going to solve your problems. It's not. It's going to make your problems worse. The best thing, let's create an atmosphere here tonight by uniting ourselves together in the simplicity of faith, by uniting ourselves together around the message of the hour, by calling Jesus on the scene. By through song worship, creating an atmosphere, and then a determination inside of your soul when you pray. You may not have to pray long, maybe you will. It's not dependent on the length of time that you spend in prayer, but there's got to be a certain determination that you want to lay a hold of something real this evening, that you want to see a change inside of your circumstances, that you want something spiritually speaking to declare itself to your soul, that you want to break beyond this veil of these senses. And you want to break into that place where God can reveal himself in real ways to your soul. And that is the place of revelation. That is the place of spiritual blessing. That is the place where good things take place. And when you come down from that place, when you come down from spending time beyond the veil, you're going to be like Brother John here. You're not going to see things the same anymore. Though your natural circumstances may not have changed when you finish that prayer, but something's changed inside of here. And you have a substance inside of yourself, which is a real faith that God is moved on the scene. I've called God into this situation. Now it's not my responsibility anymore. Now I leave it in His hands and let Him unfold this situation to its natural conclusion. And you'll see that He goes before you when you've broken beyond the veil and you've laid hold of something that's real. Now we always give that example of when the prophet went into that insane asylum. And there was that lady there, nice lady, nicely dressed, young, really nice. The prophet said, an attractive lady. And then the prophet says, but you don't look like you should be here. And she said, let me tell you my story. And she told the prophet all the things that had happened to her and how the devil had got inside of her life. And there was that depression and that insanity that wanted to overtake her. And the prophet says, yes, that may be the condition that you're in, but I don't believe you want to stay in that condition. And she says, no, I do want to stay in this condition, but how am I going to get myself out of this condition? Now, she could have looked at the natural circumstances. She might have looked at all the insane people around her. She might have listened to her human spirit with its depression and the voices that were speaking in her mind and the insanity that the devil wanted to lead her to. But she says, no, I don't want to stay in this condition. And the prophet says, let's pray. And they got down on their knees and the prophet started to pray. And then that lady started to pray and she prayed a 2-minute prayer. And then she got up and she said, no, I'll be okay now, Brother Branham. And Brother says, no, you won't be okay. Get back down on your knees and pray once again. You haven't yet broken beyond the veil. That prayer hasn't gone beyond the veil. And the only way that this circumstance is going to change is when you break beyond the veil. And she got on her knees a second time and the prophet says she started to pray again. And the prophet was praying with her. And then she got up a second time and said, Brother Branham, I feel better now. I think it'll be okay. And Brother says, no, get down on your knees and pray once again. And the prophet says the third time she got on her knees, something started to take place spiritually. And he said you could tell by the way that her prayer started to change. She had broken through into the realm of spiritual reality. And the tears were now coming down her face. And she was praying with a sincerity and there came a spirit of intercession inside of her prayer. And then she got up after that prayer and said, Brother Branham, something's happened. And Branham says, you'll be all right now. And a few days later, she was released from the insane asylum. And friends, that is the most important thing in the life of a believer, especially our young believers as well, is to find your way beyond the veil. Once you break through there once, you know the way. Sometimes, like the prophet says, the first time is the most difficult. But once you've broken beyond the veil into the realm of heavenly places, once you've found your way by the grace of God to the throne of grace, it doesn't really matter what the devil puts inside of your life. You may be swallowed in a whale and be in a whale's belly like Jonah. But Jonah knew the way beyond the veil. Amen. He says, I will set my face towards the holy temple. And he prayed a prayer and God heard his prayer from the belly of a whale. You may be like Daniel, put in a den of lions. Doesn't matter the circumstances. The man knew what it was to break beyond the veil. And when he broke beyond the veil, that beyond the veil responded to his prayer. And an angel came down and stood right in the midst of his circumstances. And the trouble that was before him, the lions, that he had no power himself over to overcome that trouble, the angel came and stood and quenched the violence of the lion's anger. And the Hebrew children quenching the power of the fire. Friends, that is the secret weapon in the life of a believer. Is a believer knows the way beyond the veil. And friends, when you spend too much time in this veil, you get critical. When you spend too much time in this veil, you get discouraged. When you spend too much time in this veil, you get starchy. Then you start reading the Bible and you fall asleep while you're reading the Word. You start listening to the messages and your mind is thinking of something else while the messages are on. Friends, you need to break beyond the veil. You need to break beyond the veil in prayer first and then go and read your Bible. And then that Bible becomes a vision that breaks forth to you. Just like John had broke forth to him. And then you put on those messages. And it's not just a man from America speaking on a tape. It's now the voice of the seventh angel. It's now God speaking to your soul through his prophet messenger of the age. And God starts to do things through you. And it starts to become spiritual food in due season. It starts to minister to your soul. It starts to put spiritual confidence inside of your spiritual muscles once again. It starts to put hope when there was no hope. It starts to put encouragement where there was discouragement. It starts to minister health when there was sickness. It starts to put light at the end of the tunnel. Because whenever he comes, friends, the situation is going to change. But you've got to be determined. You've got to be determined to say, tonight's my night. I can feel it inside of my soul that he's near. He's speaking to me. He's declaring himself to me. The Bible says if he draws near to me, I must draw nigh to him. I must simply respond when I hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But friends, there's so many times that we don't do that. We just surrender to our circumstances. We say, ah, let somebody else pray about it. No. When are you going to pray about it? When are you going to learn the way to the throne of grace? That you might come like Esther. And you come through those circumstances when every voice was telling her, you're going to perish. It's not lawful for you to come before the king, but there was something inside of her. And she yielded herself to the Spirit of God at that time. And she said, if I perish, I perish. And she went broke beyond the veil into the court where the king was. And the king held forth the golden scepter. And she touched the scepter and the voice came from the throne and says, what would you desire, Queen Esther, even to the half of my kingdom? Don't you desire to hear that voice tonight? That's what I desire. I don't want a natural king's voice and a natural scepter. I want to get before the spiritual king. I want him to extend the spiritual scepter to me this evening, that I might break beyond the veil into the place where God dwells, that he may speak from his throne and say, what is it that you desire? That the scepter of his blessing may come and minister to my soul, may quicken my soul and quicken my faith and lead and guide me to that place that when I pray, it's a different type of prayer. It's not just a defeated prayer that never gets answered, but it's a spirit-quickened prayer now. It's a prayer where the spirit of the great intercessor himself has come and united himself with you. And he quickens your prayer. And you know yourself, this isn't just me praying. There's something here quickening me in prayer. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray the way that we ought. But his spirit comes and quickens us. His spirit comes and gets in, and the spirit of intercession, the unction that we need, so that prayer becomes something that can reach right beyond the veil. God gives us that portion when we come determined and wanting to break forth into his presence. He will send his grace out to us where we are to usher us beyond the veil. But we've got to respond to that spirit. We've got to yield to that anointing. We've got to have a determination inside of ourselves to say, I want it to be different today. I'm tired of being overcome. I'm tired of complaining all the time. I'm tired of being defeated all the time. I'm tired of coming and then going the same or even going worse. I want there to be a change inside of my life. I don't want just these to be stories in the Bible about Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood. I want to see myself in those stories. I want to see myself as Esther today. I want to see myself as Ruth getting favor from Boaz. I want to see myself as Bartimaeus, that I can call out to him and he'll stand still and he'll call for me. And then I'll come into his presence. He'll say, what is it that you desire for me to do to you? And I'll say, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And he'll say, go thy way, for your faith has made you whole. Friends, let's not make these things stories. You know when they're stories? When we're in this veil. They're Sunday school stories then. They're stories that Mama and Papa used to tell us when we were young. I don't want the Bible to be just like that. I want to break beyond the veil so that story can be quickened and I can find myself in the story. That I might be able to relate spiritually to say, I know exactly what it was like when Peter was set free from the prison house that day. I want to know that. I want to know and say, I know exactly what it's like Paul and Silas singing in the midst of all those discouraging circumstances at midnight. But then they broke beyond the veil. Though their veils had been rent, had been beaten with rods, though the natural veils were in bondage, in stocks, though the natural veil was right in the inner dungeon, surrounded by the most difficult and discouraged of circumstances. But they didn't look at that veil. They knew how to break beyond the veil. And they started to worship and started to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Spirit of grace reached forth from beyond the veil and started to quicken them in their prayer, quicken them in their worship. And then what happened? There came an earthquake. And the great God who dwells beyond the veil came down into their circumstances and changed those circumstances. And it was so discouraging maybe when they were being led into that prison with bloody stripes on their backs, tired and wounded and weary and not understanding what does this mean. But imagine just a few hours later, they saw redemption in the life of the Philippian jailer and his family. They saw the delivering power of God from the circumstances that we're in. Friends, That's not a story. God put that in there as an example for us, so that you might find yourself tonight in those kind of circumstances. And God is trying to show you, this is the way that my children behave in the midst of those circumstances. They don't pay attention to the circumstances. They don't dwell upon the conditions that they are. They don't fellowship with each other, how bad things are. They don't do that. They worship. They call upon the name of the Lord. They come before the throne of grace and of mercy to seek help in time of trouble, like the Bible says. And the Lord says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will answer you, and I will deliver you, that I might be glorified, he said. Friends, what invitations that we've got inside of the word. But in order for those invitations to be real to us, we need to break beyond the veil. We need to break beyond the veil of flesh. We need to break into that realm before the throne of grace. We need to break into that place where God himself can make himself real to our souls. That God himself can minister divine energy into our faith. That he can quicken us. That we can believe for things that before we couldn't believe for. The Bible says Abraham could believe for the impossible. That wasn't in his natural veil. When he was in his natural veil, he listened to his wife and he went and married Hagar and almost messed everything up. But he had to break beyond the veil to that place where God could make him believe the impossible. That is the place where you have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. But you've got to be in the realm where God is in order for that faith to drop inside of your soul so that you have the faith of God. And friends, it starts in prayer. Now let me give you one more key before we pray. If you've got sin in your life, you'll never break beyond the veil. Because sin disqualifies you. Nothing with sin could go beyond the veil. Nothing with sin. You first have to come to the brazen altar. You first have to come and identify yourself with your sacrifice. You've got to lay your hands upon that sacrifice this evening and confess your sins. Confess every negative thought. Confess every negative thing that you've said. Confess every vile thing, every vile thought. Confess the things you should have done that you didn't do. Confess the things that you did that you shouldn't have done. Confess those things in the presence of the blood. And then the voice of the blood will speak to you and say, I forgive you, come beyond the veil. And then you break forth into that place where you have liberty in the presence of God. Where you're not a condemned person anymore. That you're not coming to church with a spirit of conviction inside of your soul. And you're thinking of your iniquities of the week. And you're saying, but I shouldn't be numbered amongst the believers. No, every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God took our sin and imputed it onto him so that his righteousness could be imputed to us. And friends, if you break beyond the veil, those things start becoming real to you. And friends, that's why we need to confess our sins first. We need to put those things in the presence of the blood. We need to identify ourselves at the brazen altar. And then God looks down through the bloody smoke of the altar and he says, you are justified. And the burden of guilt is taken away. And something speaks to you from between the two cherubim and says, come hither. And you break beyond the veil like John in Revelations 4 verse 1. He broke up right into the place where he saw the very throne of God. He saw the cherubim. He saw the mercy seat. He saw the grace of God. He saw the plan of redemption. He saw wondrous things that he came down and recorded in 22 chapters in the Bible. That was John in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But friends, there was nothing naturally speaking to encourage John to get to that place. Everything was against him to get to that place. But John wasn't a believer that was governed by circumstances. John wasn't a believer that just laid down his sword when the battle wasn't going well. He was a kind of person like that brother in the Old Testament who, when all the brothers weren't there for the prayer meeting that day, when he was standing in the field of barley, he says, no, this can't be. And the Philistines came and he stood on his own and he slew the Philistines until the sword stuck to his hand. And then he sat down and he was tired. And then the rest of the brothers came and entered in to get the spoil of battle. That's the kind of people that we need to be at these kind of times, friends. Not to be governed by our circumstances, but to look to the promises. To look to God's expectation that is upon us. To look to what should a believer do at a time like this. What did Brother Daniel do in Babylon when everything was against him? What should we do at a time like this? Friends, I think that is really, really what God would desire for us to do this evening. As we come into a time of prayer, ask Brother Vlad to come forward. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name. And then we come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord this evening. And let's not be satisfied with just defeated prayer. But let's break into that place by the grace of God, responding to his visitation of grace to your soul. That's something that declares itself to you. And let's enter into that realm that there's a reality in the things that we ask for, that you can have a confidence in the way that we pray. And I believe God will bless us. Let's stand, let's sing that song, and let's come straight into a time of prayer. Put these petitions before the Lord. Sister Lily's sister, Brother George, Sister Liana for their journey. Anybody else that has a petition, let's put those things before them.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the your name, I bless your name. So midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and pray. By those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. The life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you in a of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, then you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise.
You are
the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Just certain things that we're thinking to do. We just want to seek for the leadership of the Lord. Let's open the book of Daniel. Let's read Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Just that verse. Daniel 12, verse 4. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." You may be seated. I just wanted to speak just a few minutes here about the conditions for revelation. Just to really get to the point of maybe just what we wanted to say this evening. You know, revelation, like Brother Baker says, is God's grace to you. And there's nothing that you can do as a believer without revelation. Revelation gives you prevailing power. Revelation gives you overcoming power. Revelation gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Revelation shines light upon your path. Revelation shows you the way to go. Revelation shows you the way to get there. Revelation gives us everything that we need. And a believer, the church, is built upon that rock, the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But friends, let's never forget that there's conditions for us to receive revelation. It's not enough for us just to be the children of God for us to receive revelation. Many children of God don't receive revelation. You can read your Bible as a child of God and it still doesn't speak to you because of the condition that you're in. Just listening to the messages doesn't give you revelation. That can just be the impartation of knowledge, that you're just accumulating knowledge, which is okay, but that's not revelation. Just listening to messages, if you're not in the right condition for revelation, is never going to give you prevailing power. It's never going to give you jurisdiction over the devil. It's never going to give you the power to prevail, like the prophet says. That needs a certain condition. Now, Daniel was told here in verse 4 to shut up the words. So God's word is shut up. The words are on the page. But the real words are shut up. The real revelation of God's word is shut up. And he was told, seal the book. Now, anybody can open the book. But friends, it needs a certain condition inside of your life in order for that which is sealed in this book to be unsealed to your soul. And that is the power of revelation. And unless you're in that condition, like John was on that day in Patmos, where you're in a condition that you're able to break through the veil, that you're able to leave this natural dimension and break through into that spiritual dimension, nothing will ever be revealed unto you. And when nothing's being revealed unto you, like I'm saying, you get starchy inside of your life. The prophet says, although you may have confessed all your sins, you may have a complete clean testimony. But if you're not experiencing the supernatural on a regular basis, you're going to get cold and backslidden inside of your heart. And when you're saying experiencing the supernatural, every time God speaks to you through revelation, that's the supernatural. The supernatural goes well beyond that as well. But for God to speak to you, that is supernatural. That is a supernatural experience. Revelation is a supernatural experience to the soul of a person. And listen what the prophet says in the Church Age book about the conditions for revelation. Church Age book, page 16. He says, "You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message." This is the chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he's speaking of John and Patmos. He says that this book we are studying, the book of Revelation, is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in his church and his work in the future ages. So this book here is the actual revelation of Jesus Christ himself. And friends, this Bible is the revelation of God himself. And if you want to know him, and if you want him to minister to your condition, if you want to overcome, you overcome by the power of revelation. When God takes this word and unseals it to you and reveals himself to you in that word, and then you see yourself in the word, and then it becomes personal to you, and then you're going to overcome the devil. But it needs a certain condition. That's what the prophet's saying here. He says, "Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, or we'll fail to get it." So friends, without the Holy Ghost, without you personally fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, you're never going to get revelation. You can sit in a message church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can listen to messages 24 hours a day and still receive no revelation unless your soul is in a condition that you're fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. You have to be personally yourself, not your mother, not your father. Like the song says, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And friends, we need each of us to be in a condition that you're having personal fellowship with the Holy Ghost, that you're having personal fellowship with the person of Jesus Christ himself. Outside of that, you're never going to prevail and overcome. People will come and encourage you and you'll crack on for 1 or 2 days and then you're down in your ditch again. And then somebody's going to have to come and resurrect you from there again. And God's going to speak to you behind the veils of other people. God's going to be veiled and speak to you from the other side of a veil. And then you're going to get out there, then the devil's going to speak to you. And there's nothing within your veil. There's no prevailing power because you are not fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost yourself. And like I'm saying, friends, just to listen to the messages isn't fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost necessarily. Because there's many people that have listened to these messages that are back in the world today. There's many people that have listened to these messages that gave up on the message years ago. So like the prophet says here, he says, bringing these two thoughts together, that this book is a supernatural book and that you need the Holy Ghost to reveal these things to you. He says, bring those two thoughts together concerning studying the book of Revelation. And he says, you will see that it won't just take ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. What's he saying? You've got to get out of this veil. If you're just in this veil, just your thinking, just your studying, just your reading, the mysteries of God in this age will never be real to you. And it's the mysteries of God that are going to take you in the rapture. That's where the rapturing faith is. Rapturing faith is in the unsealed word. The word is sealed up. And the seal is the Holy Ghost. So you're going to have to break beyond the veil. You're going to have to break beyond the seal so you can come to that place that God can unfold these things to you in his word the way that he unfolded them to John on Patmos. That's why he's our brother and companion in tribulation, John on Patmos, because his natural conditions were totally going to hold him back from breaking through into that place where he could have personal fellowship with the revelation of Jesus Christ itself. And the prophet says, it won't just take ordinary studying or thinking to make this book real. It's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. And that's a privilege. Because we are that special class of people. There's 1 million people out there in Dublin tonight. 1 million something. They have absolutely no fellowship with the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we here tonight, and we have fellowship with the revelation of Jesus Christ. We may not have it in the extent we desire. But friends, any genuine believer here, what has made you what you are is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what's made you what you are. Not your own strength, your own willpower, that you're a superior class of person, that you've got a better genetic makeup than other people. That's got nothing to do with it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that pulled you out of the world. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ that revealed that you were a sinner. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ that revealed an atonement to you for your sin. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ that ushered you to the throne of grace. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that delivered you from the bondage and the power of the devil inside of your life. Wasn't your willpower going to Alcoholics Anonymous to give up drinking? Or that you made a New Year's resolution to give up smoking? Well, some people it works like that. But it was the impact of revelation. It was the power of divine revelation. Jesus says the gates of hell will never prevail against the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if whatever bondage you're in tonight, whatever condition you're in, what's going to get you out of there? Reading the newspaper? It's never. It's going to put you deeper in there. Watching television? That's feeding the devil inside of your life. Hollywood, is it going to set you free? It's going to put you in bondage. The only thing that's going to set you free is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we've got to put ourselves in a condition We've got to move from this veil into a condition that we are now candidates, that we now can be fellowshipping in a realm, fellowshipping in a dimension that the Lord Jesus Christ can come to you in your condition that you are through the power of revelation in that dimension to change the circumstances that you're in. And sometimes that's going to take a process. If you're backslidden and your mind has been filled with filth and you've been watching perversion and things that you shouldn't watch and you've been reading things that shouldn't be named among the saints and you've been feeding your soul and feeding your mind on swine's food like the prodigal son, there's going to be a process for you to come from that place until you're a candidate once again to receive rapturing faith once again inside of your soul. And that is the process of repentance, of yielding yourself, of praying yourself beyond the dimension. And that is why prayer is such an important thing. A believer can't go long without prayer. Denominational people can, friends, but a genuine believer needs prayer. Because without prayer, you can never break beyond that dimension. It's not just studying that puts you there. You've got to yield yourself. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to respond to His Spirit as it draws you once again beyond the veil, to the throne of grace and of mercy. And friends, we need to be spending time there. If we want the Lord to lead us any deeper in the revelation of this message this year, friends, we've got to get this thing right first. We've got to fulfill the conditions for revelation. We've got to get ourselves in the Spirit in the Lord's day like John did. We've got to move beyond the veil. We've got to lay aside the things of the flesh, the sin that does so easily beset us. You've got to lay aside the garments that are spotted and contaminated by the sins of the flesh and the sins of this day and come before the throne of grace and seek the Lord to wash us clean, to wash us in the waters of the word, to purge us from that which we need to be purged from. And we need to confess and forsake our sins, to confess it and then do away with it and fellowship with it no more. And then you've taken the first stage to meet in the conditions for revelation. You see, once you've cleaned your life out, once you've prayed yourself back into the presence of God, you're now a candidate for revelation once again. Now the Spirit of God can come and start to speak to your soul because there's not a lot of spiritual interference there. Now you try to listen to a radio there where there's a lot of other things that are interfering with it. And all you hear is a lot of noise. You've got to get yourself in a place that there's no interference anymore. And then you can tune it in and you can hear clearly from the other dimension. And that's what we need to do, friends. If the Lord's going to lead us any further this year into the revelation of Jesus Christ, if in your calling in your life you want to go further this year, in your ministry you want to go beyond where you've been before in Christ, if you want to rise to higher heights this year, if you want to experience new experiences in Christ, if we as a church want to break into things that we've never seen before, friends, it starts here. It starts at the prayer meetings. It starts at fulfilling the conditions for revelation. And that is to be in the Spirit. And you can't be in the Spirit and be in the flesh at the same time. You can't be in the Spirit and be in sin at the same time. You can't be in a spirit of criticism, in a spirit of complaining and murmuring and saying, but life is so hard to me, and be in the Spirit at the same time. You've got a desire, like the prodigal son, to be either there or to be there. Make up your mind. But if you want the blessings, they're in your Father's house. They're in His presence, they're in His embrace, they're in His blessing. But we need to leave there and take the process to get to there. And the moment we get there, everything's going to take care of itself because all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's breaking beyond the veil. And friends, without prayer, it's not possible. Without consecration, it's not possible. Without commitment, it's not possible. Without the word, it's not possible. But there's got to be the right balance of these things. There's got to be a balance of prayer and the word. There's got to be spirit and truth. That's the way that it always is. The Father seeks such that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've got to have that balance individually in our lives and in our church. We've got to have spirit and in truth. Because if you lean just one side, if you just go in the Spirit like the Pentecostals, you get into fanaticism. If you just go the other side, just the word, the word, the word, you get starchy and you get cold. You become like the Baptists in them. That the prophet says they know who they are in the word, but they don't have the faith. And it says the Pentecostals went right that way. They have the faith, but they don't know who they are in the word. It says, but if you can get those two things together, people that are prayed up, and then you get the message of the hour into that kind of an atmosphere, friend, something's going to take place. And you know inside of your life that every time something has taken place is when you've met those conditions. When you've returned back to the condition where God can step in and the revelation of Jesus Christ can be your portion once again. So the prophet says, it will take one with prophetic insight, people with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. Now, friends, if your mind is full of worldly music, how are you ever going to hear from God with that same mind? Never. It doesn't work. If you're filling your mind up with comics and magazines and foolish things of this life, God can never, ever come through that interference inside of your mind. If you're speaking negative things and speaking against other people, speaking politics and those things, how do you ever expect to hear from God? You've got to move beyond that veil and break beyond into that veil where all of these things are. That's why the prophet says it'll take the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that's good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear how we need to hear from God. And lay ourselves open, he says, and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and to know. Now you go and read that in your church age book. It's a very good quote. Because the prophet's telling us what to do there. To hear from God, we need to lay ourselves open. We need to open ourselves. And that means confessing your sins and not holding secret things inside of your life. You've got to open yourself and say, here I am, Lord. Deal faithfully with my soul. And then when he deals with you, lay everything else aside. He says, we need to lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit. Notice this, become yielded to the Spirit. It's a process of becoming sensitive and yielded to the Spirit again. When you've got out of the Spirit, you don't all of a sudden become sensitive to the Spirit in a minute. You don't. Because there's too many hard things in you. There's too much of an imprint and an influence that you've already got inside of your life. So that one, you've got to yield it. And in prayer, you're yielding yourselves and you're becoming sensitive to the Spirit again. And the more that you pray, then you get in the Word and then He speaks to you and you respond to His voice and go and make right with that brother. You make right with your sister. Make right with your wife, your husband. Do whatever you need to do, what she tells you to do. You're yielding to the Spirit. You're obeying the Spirit. And you bring yourself back into a condition that you can receive revelation. He says, become yielded to the Spirit so that we can hear and so that we can know. And friends, that's what we need. That's what we need for us to go deeper, for us to go further, for the Lord to unveil more to us. Friends, that's what we need. And there's enough of us here this evening. Not everybody's here, but there's enough of us here this evening that if we would resolve as the children of God here this evening that we want to push on like this, we want to continue to go on like this. Friends, what a difference it's going to make, because the Lord will continue to pour glory upon glory, line upon line, truth upon truth. Now, I just wanted to finish with this thought, just to remind us once again of what really the message is. You know, where is the real message in the message? The prophet, quoting from Revelation 10, he says, he takes the book of the seals, Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, our great Boaz. He takes the book of the seals. He breaks them and he shows them to the seventh angel. To the prophet, yeah? Amen. It says, for this alone, the breaking of the seals and revealing those mysteries to the prophet says, this alone, the mysteries of God, is the ministry of the seventh angel. That's the real ministry the prophet had, was those things that were sealed up, those mystery truths in his word. The prophet says, that's going to quicken people for the rapture. That's where the faith for. It's good. We need the other things. We need the church order. We need the dress code. But those are secondary things. Those things are necessary to make a good atmosphere. But once there's a good atmosphere, then the Lord can bring the real thing. And the real thing is the mysteries. That's the real message. And friends, if we would unite together and create an atmosphere and seek His face and humble ourselves, I believe the Lord will unveil more of Himself to us in the mysteries of this message. He says it in Anointed Ones at the end time. He says, notice the day when this messenger, speaking of the seventh angel, not when he starts his ministry, but when he begins to declare his message. You see, the first pull was healing. The second pull was prophesying. The third pull, the opening of the word, the mystery is revealed. You see the way into the third pull. There'll be the final manifestation of the third pull. But what is the way into that third pull? Is the revelation of the mysteries. Is the revelation of that which was sealed under those seals. And friends, we need to get into those things again. And that is my desire. And that is why I wanted to put that before the church this evening. To say, saints, I have a real desire inside of my heart that we get into these things. But before we can get into those things, we need to get into the condition for revelation first. Because there's no point trying to get into those things, friends, when there's differences among us and there's different things like that. I mean, that's not the condition for revelation. But if we could say, let's seek the Lord, let's seek his face, let's set our face to seek the Lord like Daniel did in the book of Daniel. Let's seek to have understanding. Friends, I really do believe, just like when Daniel set his face to seek the Lord, to understand just a little bit of the word, how many more years they were going to be in Babylon. The Lord sent the revelation forth of the 70 weeks of Daniel right to the millennium. And I believe that's the way that God is. That the moment you set yourself properly, get yourself in the spirit of revelation, I believe the Lord will give you far more than you're expecting to receive. That's how he's always done it. Now just to finish off, the prophet speaking about Daniel in Babylon, he says that. He says, notice Daniel, though he was an alien, ousted from his people, ousted from his church, without one church service, Daniel in Babylon. Imagine the condition Daniel was in. Without any church to go to, without any hymns to be sung, but what he sang himself. In the midst of this, he still held on to what the prophet Jeremiah said. Amen. My, that's a real message believer. Doesn't matter if you're in Dublin, doesn't matter if you're in wherever you are, in Babylon, Laodicea, the darkest age. Friends, we like Daniel. Doesn't matter what the devil does. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter the trials you're going through. You hold on to the word because that's where your deliverance is coming from. And Daniel, in the midst of being in Babylon, not having fellowship with brothers, not having people there to encourage him, nothing outwardly to encourage him, everything was there to discourage him. He was in the message of the hour. And he wasn't just reading the message. He was in the spirit of revelation. Because when he was reading, Gabriel came forth and says, Daniel, you man greatly beloved, from the first day that you set yourself to seek the Lord, your prayer was heard, and I was sent forth to give you skill and understanding. And that's the same God tonight that we've been praying to. That's the same God who wants to reveal more of himself and more of the message to us this year. But we've got to be like Daniel. We've got to set ourselves to seek the Lord. We've got to set our face to him. And the way Daniel did it, first by confession. I confess my sins and the sins of my fathers. And I said, Lord, we have transgressed. We haven't listened to the words of the prophets. We've done all of these things wrong. And once he confessed, straight away, here came Gabriel and unveiled to him the entire plan of redemption that God had for his people, the Jews. And friends, we need in our age a deeper unveiling and revelation of this message of the hour. And you might think, but no, I need this, I need that, the other. Those things will take care of themselves. If you just break through into that dimension where God comes and reveals redemption to you, the plan of redemption to you, you'll find all of the other secondary circumstances in your life become very insignificant, just as much as they did to John on the Isle of Patmos. And friends, let's do that. As individuals in your homes, we can do it as a church, which we want to do. It's wonderful to do it as a church. But if it's not being done in the homes, what we do in the church doesn't work. If people are going from here and then playing around and with the world and committing all kinds of sin and fornications and adulteries and things out there, and then coming and sitting in church, no matter what we do, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Because that dimension of heaven is going to have a hard time coming down when God is grieved with certain things that are being done. But what the Lord will do if we seek his face, he'll come and he'll expose those things. He'll come and show clearly that I want to bless you people, but here's Achan. Here's the gold wedge. Here's the Babylonian garment. Call a halt. Call a fast. Cast lots. And then it came down to where the problem was. And once the problem was dealt with, then they went back into victory once again. Now, whatever it is that the Lord has had in his mind for us, friends, we need to meet the conditions for revelation. So as we'd come to a time of prayer now, just to close, what I was really wanting is next weekend on Saturday, let's consecrate ourselves. Amen. Whosoever's heart the Lord would stir up as it was in the days of Nehemiah. Let's lay ourselves aside. Let's lay aside food and drink for Saturday and let's come to his house and let's really, really seek his face. And then the following weekend, what I really, really desire to do so much, which is St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's a holiday weekend. Let's have some special meetings. Amen. And let's start to get into the message. Amen. Let's start to get into some of these deeper things of the message. Amen. The Lord has really laid certain things upon my heart, which I so much would love that we could get into as a church, but we need to have some special meetings for that. Amen. We need to come Saturday and Sunday to really get in the Word once again. But before we get into that, we need to move into the condition for revelation. So this weekend and this week, by the grace of God, you consecrate yourself. Let's meet as his people next Saturday in his house. Let's call upon his name. Let's sanctify ourselves. Let's be like Daniel, seeking the face of the Lord. And then the following weekend, which is the seventh weekend of the 15th, 16th, I think it is, which is St. Patrick's Day, we'll announce at our church, let's have some special meetings that we come into his house, not just for the general run-of-the-mill kind of messages. Let's dig deep once again into these things, which is our inheritance. Because the message is the mystery truth. That's where the rapturing faith is. That is the ministry of the seventh angel is those things. And may the Lord help us and minister an entrance deeper for us into those things as we get into this season. And friends, I do believe the Lord will bless us if we do it with all our hearts. I believe that the Lord will do something for us. I believe no matter what your circumstances are, the Lord can minister you out of those circumstances. Because I believe the revelation of Jesus Christ is more powerful than any circumstances any single one of us is in upon this day. And if we can just break beyond this veil and break into that dimension where God speaks to his people and get ourselves in a condition that we can hear from God once again, that we can have supernatural instruction from that heavenly dimension. Friends, there's the power of stimulation. The stimulation of revelation. How wonderful that it is. There's the quickening power of revelation. There's the prevailing power of revelation. There's the courage that revelation gives. There's a boldness that revelation gives you. There's all things that we need are in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of your inheritance. The revelation of who you are. The revelation of why God called you. The revelation of the next step that he wants you to take. The revelation of whatever, who you should marry, where you should go, what job you should do. Everything is in the revelation of Jesus Christ. His great purpose and plan for you. So let's unite ourselves together as we enter into this season. To ask the Lord to bless us. Brother Crosby was here 2 weeks ago. To me it was a great blessing. It really ministered something to me at that time. I had grace last weekend. I went to Czech Republic. I'll give a report on Sunday. We had a wonderful time there. The Lord really led us into a wonderful place in that place. And me, I'm just so desiring inside of myself to say, Lord, help us to continue on deeper into the holy place. Beyond this veil of flesh, let's break through to that place where all things are possible, where God can have his way, where God's will can be done. Let's stand. Let's just put this before the Lord for a few minutes before we close. You put yourself before the Lord and ask the Lord to have grace on you at this time. Ask the Lord, help me, quicken me, that I might have a zeal myself to enter into that place. And then let's pray for our church and say, Lord, as your people, how we desire your leadership, minister us deeper. Minister us further than we've ever been. Open these things up to us, Lord, not for our glory, but for your glory. That you might transport us by the power of revelation from where we are, a step closer to where we're supposed to be at the end of the journey. And I really do believe that the Lord will be faithful to answer that prayer. Let's sing one song, brother, and then we enter into a time of prayer. Let's put this before the Lord and pray the Lord to help us as his people, as a congregation of his people. Just as Daniel prayed, let's pray to the God of Daniel. And I believe the same God of Daniel tonight. From the time that we first set our hearts to seek the Lord and we determined in ourselves, he'll send forth his angel to come forth of the power of revelation once again.
John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard the voice from heaven and this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live
Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard a voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live. Hallelujah, behold, I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore, behold, I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore, hallelujah. I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore.
Upon this evening, Lord, Father, we are your people upon this evening, Lord, and we look unto thee for with desiring grace. Father, we dedicate ourselves unto thee upon this evening. Father, we know that outside of thee and outside of your grace, we can do nothing. Father, but you are the vine and we are the branches. And all we want to do is just abide in the vine at this time. And Father, help us to bring forth that fruit that abides, that fruit that glorifies your name. Help us to be as the trees, Father. Dwelling, Lord, growing by the rivers of water, that you may bring forth your fruit in your season is our desire. Help us at this time, Lord. Forgive our trespasses. Forgive our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord. May your blood speak on behalf of every shortcoming, every missing the mark, and every failing upon this night, we pray. As, Father, we look unto Christ, Lord, the author, the finisher of our faith, and pray, Lord, Father, and put our trust in you. Father, may you bless your people that have come upon this night. Father, as we go from this place, won't you give us traveling mercies and watch over us, Lord. Help us that the meditations of our heart, Lord, may be acceptable before thee as we go from this place. Help us tomorrow. Help us in these days that lay before. Draw nigh unto us, Lord, that you may draw nigh unto thee. Speak unto us and encourage us, Lord. Break every fetter, break every bondage of the enemy, Lord, we'd ask and pray. Father, make straight paths for our feet and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. Father, minister to every need. Father, every person that needs a job, I pray for them. Every person that needs financial assistance, I pray for them. Every person that needs this, that, and the other, Father, we bring it up unto thee, that, Father, you, Lord, may be glorified, that you may manifest your attributes and reveal yourself in those circumstances as the answer to that every need. And in what we've spoken of upon this evening, you help us, Lord. Father, we know that if the builder desire to build without the Lord, he builds in vain. Now the watcher, Father, if he watches, the watchman on the tower, without the Lord, he watches in vain. That's why, Father, we look unto thee. You've been so faithful to us, Lord. You've been so good to us, Father. You've granted us such grace and mercy. You've kept us, Father. You've watched over us. You've kept us safe thus far. Father, won't you just give us our daily bread? We'd pray. Won't you break unto us the bread of life and have mercy upon us in these things, we'd pray, and take us further. Take us deeper. Take us to the place that you'd have us to be. May you bless your people upon this night as we go. Them that aren't here, I do pray for them. I pray that you would minister grace unto them. To Sister Charlotte, Lord, that you would quicken her and strengthen her and help her to a full recovery. I pray for Sister Julie as well, that, Father, you would grant her grace and, Father, give her a quick recovery. From that cesarean, we pray. May you bless Hadassah. May you watch over her, Lord. Watch over that little girl, we pray. And Father, Lord, even the program for tomorrow and different things that are being done, we dedicate all into your hands. Even our brother, our sister, Lord, in Longford, remember them, lift them up unto thee once again. Let them come back with a testimony that, Father, something changed in the midst of the time that they were there, that all of a sudden Jesus was on the scene. Father, let it be so, we pray. Bless your children this night. Father, grant us grace as we come back into your house once again on Sunday. Meet with us. Father, bring us together. Lord, raise us up, we pray, to heavenly places for your glory. Bless the song leader this night. Thank you, Lord, for song worship. May you bless us as we enter into worship on Sunday. Bless the Sunday school teachers on Sunday. Bless the youth. Father, help us and guide us in all of those things, we pray. Father, them that, Lord, aren't here with us, we do think even Brother Shelton's wife, we pray you'll bless her in Algeria. Father, she's in Babylon there. Father, we pray that you'll just keep her through the power of the revelation of this message for your glory. And Father, them that are in different places as well that we haven't seen for some time, we have mercy upon them. Just Brother Christian and the saints down there in Cork, we do pray for them as well. Brother Tom, as he goes to Scotland this weekend, may your hand be upon him. May you use him for your glory. Bless Brother Crosby's congregation. Thank you for the time that we spent with him. Father, you continue to lead us is our desire as we dismiss in your precious name. Amen. 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 God bless saints. Until Sunday.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and take me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.